Hey, hey, friends. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Amy Kay, and this is To Be Fair. To be fair, life can feel like a mess with too little time. But on this podcast, we think through the challenges and make thoughtful, everyday decisions. Today, on episode number 3, we're thinking about a few simple things we can do to feel like things are more in control so that we feel better, even when we're having really big days. First, though, it really is just about how we feel about things, right? It's not really the reality of how things are. It's how we feel about the reality of how things are, right? For instance, if I came downstairs in the morning to make my son's lunch and the kitchen counter has remnants of the muffins that I made last night still scattered, I can just feel like, there's so much to do. I can start feeling overwhelmed. Or I could come downstairs to make the lunch, and when I see the mixing bowl and the muffin pan strewn about, an alternative feeling could be like, oh yeah, that was fun that we decided to make muffins last night and now the kids have a great breakfast. There are lots of ways that I could look at that counter, see the same things, and feel differently about what I'm seeing. How we feel about things is all in how we think about those things. Having said that, like, I know the first thing in the morning when I'm coming down those stairs, I'm not thinking clearly yet. And I just like coming downstairs to a clean kitchen counter. I do. It helps my day start nicely. I feel like I'm capable and I can handle things. I totally know it sounds goofy. I absolutely hear myself and think it's ridiculous, but it's true. And I think that most of us have little things that can help us to feel in control, which just in turn helps everything to feel better. This is the season for spring cleaning in the Northern Hemisphere. Some years around this time, I feel the itch to do more spring cleaning than other years. I don't know. I suppose it depends on how much has been left undone or accumulated in relationship to how much I'm home in any given spring. I don't really have any religious traditions that prompt me to clean, but there definitely are some. Orthodox Jewish people probably do some spring cleaning in anticipation of Passover. To really observe their ancient traditions, Passover requires no eating or drinking of anything that might have yeast in it because of the way that they remember their story, the story of their people, that their ancestors flew out of Egypt in haste and were then in exile for a long time. And when they had to leave so quickly, they did not have time to like let the bread rise, right? So now they have flat bread, like manna. So Jewish people, Orthodox Jews anyway, are supposed to get rid of leavened things in their homes. So they conduct a thorough spring cleaning, right? Now, I am not an Orthodox Jew. I'm a liberal Protestant, but doing some intentional cleaning in the spring just makes sense to me. Spring is a time when it's warm enough to open our homes again, but it's cool enough to not have many bugs yet. Back in the day when people used to have coal furnaces around here for heat, this was the first that soot could be washed off from the walls and the furniture. I cannot imagine how it'd be to clean soot off of walls. I've never washed walls, which might be self-evident, actually, if you came into our home, because we've lived here 6 years and with two little boys, the walls, especially in the stairway, I've noticed, are just gross. Perhaps I should add that to my spring cleaning list, but I'm probably not going to because I don't get that worked up about spring cleaning. I'm glad I don't have soot on my walls and it's just like grubby rubbing against it every once in a while. But it does just seem like it's a good time to do some seasonal extras, like just do some stuff, just do some things that can help us to then feel better about everything. So before we get into the 3 tidbits about spring cleaning, let's just talk about stuff for just a moment. Now, I am a lover of Pinterest. I absolutely am. I love Pinterest. And there's a slew of pins that say this kind of thing. If it doesn't make you feel fabulous, don't do it, don't buy it, don't wear it, don't eat it, don't keep it. I think there is a lot of truth to this notion. If something doesn't really suit us, we should just go ahead and give that stuff to someone who can use it. But that can be so hard when we're emotionally attached to something. For instance, I just ran across a pair of pants that one of the boys loved wearing when he was an itty bitty. The pants were so little and so cute, and I remember that he loved wearing them. Those are the hard things for me to part with. There is this book called The Procrastinator's Handbook. It's a really good book. It's short and good. Lots of practical stuff. One of the tips that the book gives is to take a picture of something if we're feeling like we should give it away, but we have an emotional tie to it. I have a girlfriend in Missouri who knew of this suggestion, and she even takes pictures of her shoes that she no longer wants, but she has a hard time letting go of. I'm like, hey, that's great. Whatever works is great. I don't necessarily need to take pictures of my shoes, but later I will totally have my now 10-year-old son hold up his cute little size 2T pants, and I will take a picture. And that picture is all I will then need. And I can happily donate those little pants so another person can love them too. Okay, now, so here are three things that we can easily attend to that can help us to feel more in control and then better with a little zip of spring cleaning. Number one, go through the clothing. The common rule is to donate anything that doesn't fit or we haven't worn for 2 years. That seems like wise counsel to me. I'm not a big clothes person, so for me, it's not a big deal to go through my own closet, but the task here is for the boys. They are in years of major growth. So the changing of the season means that I will go through all their drawers and closet and pull everything that doesn't fit any longer. And I'll actually even pull the stuff that fits perfectly right now, because by the time cold weather comes again, those things are just not going to fit. I show them then what I think should be donated, and then we put all that stuff into bags and we carry it right out to our vehicle. If I let those bags sit around, they just sort of become a part of the environment and they don't get taken to the thrift store for a while. But if I just march myself right on out there with those bags, put them in the front seat, they're ready to go to the store the next time it opens. Number two, weed through the paperwork piles. Ugh, this is my least favorite. The schoolwork, the stuff I brought home from the store, and the mail that I've not dealt with accumulate into piles of paperwork. Ugh. Let's just deal with them, friends. And the biggest thing is that we establish places for all of the paper that we have to keep. In our home, each of the boys have a tubby, and the really cherished things go into the tubby. Some artwork gets hung up in the back entryway, or I take a picture of it, and then it gets recycled. The receipts or anything like that that we have to keep, they need to have a place. So let's just take care of it. Let's get out envelopes. Let's write taxes on the front of one or something and put the receipts in that envelope and then store that envelope where it makes the most sense to do so. It might even be in the junk drawer. If that's where the receipt pile has been, is like around the junk drawer, that's fine. Put that envelope next to where those things have been accumulating. And then instead of having a pile, they'll just maybe start going right into the envelope. Eureka. Mail. I absolutely suck at mail. It is true. I wish I didn't, but I do. But we just need to go recycle the junk and deal with the bills and file what needs to be kept. And again, the filing, that we need to have a place. So if we don't have files, getting them would be good so that those pieces of paper have a place to go. I am absolutely talking to myself here. Let's suck it up together, my friends, and let's get through it. And now onto a much more fun number three. Reset our rooms. This is my favorite because it doesn't take much time and it feels so stinking good. Take a room in your house and go through the areas where things have accumulated. So for instance, go through the stuff on the nightstand and get rid of anything that doesn't really need to be there anymore. The pile of cough drops could probably be put in the medicine tubby at this point. The random ponytail holders and bobby pins that have been pulled out and tossed off sometime in the night, they can go back into their drawer now. Once that stuff is gone, we can easily rearrange a bit and make all of our beloved things that are left, our art, or our houseplants, or our fair trade, whatever it is, we can make them seem almost new or better because now they have their place that they shine. Again, with Pinterest, there are these sweet little checklists for how often we're supposed to clean stuff. There are delightful drawings about the cleaning products that we should be using. There are calendars outlining how we should clean our whole house in 21 days. There are a million Pinterest prompts and methods for spring cleaning. Friends, this is what I know to be true. Usually little tasks don't take that much time. It's getting ourselves to start that is the issue. Once we're on a roll, we don't need clothespins with different chores written on them so that we can pin from the to-do side of the paper to the done side. We know what we need to do. We just need to trick ourselves into starting. Again, with the Procrastinator's Handbook, one of the tricks that I have adopted and I use often is setting the timer on my phone for 20 minutes. If something has been on my running list of things I'd like to take care of for too long, and I don't really know why I'm not getting that stuff done, I'll just pick one and I'll set my timer for 20 minutes and I'll start it. And usually that's all it takes. I'm done with the dang thing before the timer rings. Or if I'm not, the rule is I can give myself permission to stop and come back and finish it another time. I've found that usually I just keep working on it though, because it's not hard to keep going once the task has started. This is also how I got my master's thesis written, by the way. I trick myself into getting all kinds of things started and then done. Thanks be to God. It works for the big stuff and the little stuff. And I feel good about getting the little stuff done, I tell you. I love crossing things off my list. I have done a lot of spring cleaning lately, and just this morning I walked through the living room and I felt like a million bucks because I knew that those darn DVDs were all in their correct container and they were all tucked away properly. I have a little bit of a swagger, not gonna lie, when I walk through the kitchen right now. That's right, because the junk drawer has never looked so good, and the stack of construction paper that had been on the counter that I've been looking at for too many days wasn't sitting there anymore. That is right, my friends. And I was the one who got out that construction paper, but I wasn't done with my little project when it was time for supper, so I put those things on the counter, and then they just sat. Ugh. But they're not there anymore, because now I have dealt with them. We feel better about things. We feel more in control when we do these types of little things. It doesn't take that much to help ourselves in this way. So let's do this for ourselves, my friends. Close paper piles and reset the rooms. But hey now, if you just can't, for whatever reason, bring yourself to do any of this, that is absolutely, totally fine. Do what you need to do, my friend. The stuff on the coffee table is not hurting anyone. It will be there until someone does something with it, and it's no big deal. Give yourself grace. Keep breathing and continue on. There's just one more thing here today before I sign off. I have this amazing friend named Annie, who is a fantastic decorator. She just tagged me on Facebook with a post showing some of the sweet, like inviting, comfortable areas in her home. It's like a magazine. And this is what she wrote. 2 weeks of straight decluttering and cleaning and decorating, and my upstairs is finally done. Love to see special pieces from many places that mean so much to me. Annie went on to talk about a couple local stores in downtown Salina, Kansas that she loves because they have things that fit her style. And also a couple of gorgeous Fairly Traded pieces from our store, Connected, in Lenzburg, or ConnectedFairTrade.com, by the way. Annie is an exemplar in many, many ways. And I share about her now because she spent time cleaning out her home. And then she added things in that she loves. She was thoughtful about what she bought and where she bought it. I love that. And she is a rock star. I hope that you are feeling like a rock star and that everything seems in control and good and wonderful for you. If not, let's take a stab at some spring cleaning and go through the clothes and the paper piles and reset everything. Let's start our timers and get on it, friends. Let's soak in the things that we love and feel a little more in control and good about our lives. May it be so for us all. I hope you found something from this podcast today to be useful. If you have, and if you have a moment, it would really help us if you would rate and review our show. If you would do so, we have a better chance of iTunes recognizing us so that we might be suggested to others for a listen. Just click the little stars and then give us an honest review. Thank you so much for considering that. And certainly thank you for listening, my friends. Please come back around again sometime soon. Until then, take good care. I'm Amy Kay, and this has been To Be Fair.